Turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. I'm begin reading verse 25. These passages tell us of the people of Israel right on the verge of glory. They're right there fixing to enter into Canaan. God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And everything that God has promised, He always performs. He always does. And you know, many times we're on the verge of victory, but we do not cross over. And many times it's because of the same reasons that the people of Israel did not cross over the first time into the land of Canaan. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that they did not enter in because the gospel that was preached unto them was not mixed with faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when the word of God is preached, I'm talking about God's holy word, when it's preached, it must be not only heard, but also believed. It must be mixed with faith in order to bring you victory. Amen. They were not able to enter in because they did not trust God. They did not believe God. God said, I'm giving you this land. It's yours. Go take it. Possess it. It's yours. And in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, I mean, he clearly says, look, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan to possess. It is yours already. Amen. You know, when I was studying this, I thought of the things that God has already made available to us. Salvation has already been made available to you. Jesus died on the cross. Everything that you need to be made right in the sight of God has already been made available. All things are made ready. And even as Jesus told him in the parables to go out and tell everybody, you know, for the supper, the banquet that the king had prepared, he sent his servants out and he said, invite them to come in. Tell them everything's ready. It's been prepared. Listen, you cannot be saved by something you do. You're saved through what Jesus did. And it is through the merits of the cross of Calvary that we are able to be reconciled to God. Everything that was needed for you to be reconciled to God, to be forgiven of your sins, was done by Jesus Christ. You heard about the two evangelists that were on the train. I've told this many times. I'll tell it again. You know, one said, you spell your gospel with the you spell your gospel D-O. Do repentance, do faith, do baptism, do Lord's Supper, do tithing, do church attending. He says, I spell my gospel D-O-N-E. It's done. It was done through Jesus. Listen, we're not saved through works of righteousness, which we have done. But we are saved according to His mercy and His grace. Many people stand right there on the edge of eternal life. I've preached to hundreds of people, and I am convinced that they were one step away from being saved. But something hindered them. Just as it was then, it is today. Many false spies. Now, I realize there's a lot of people that say or sing that Canaan is heaven. I don't think there's going to be any giants or Canaanites in heaven. Do you? Amen. I don't think the enemy is going to be in heaven. Amen. I really don't see Canaan picturing heaven. Actually, it pictures the Christian life. Amen. It is a type, a shadow of the battles that the church would be engaged in. Amen. And there's a lot of people that spy out things regarding Christianity, and they try to hinder you from believing in the gospel. They try to prevent you from trusting in Jesus Christ. They interject these scientific or psychological questions, and they propose them. They plant them in your mind and your heart, and many times they become obstacles that prevent you from coming to Jesus. I'm telling you today that Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey. There's nothing any better than the Christian life. I don't care what the world says. There's nothing any better than living for Jesus. This world has nothing to offer. You can gain the whole world. And if you lose your own soul, what shall it profit you? Man, I not only have milk and honey flowing in my life now, but it will always flow there in my soul. Actually, there's a better place prepared for us than Canaan. That's heaven. But I want us to notice as I read here, of course, the spies went out to spy out the land. You're familiar with the story. I think they should have just listened to God. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the first chapter, well, let me read my lesson. Now let me interject this. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the first chapter, there's a few things that are said. You know, God had said, go up, possess the land. And as Moses was rehearsing exactly what happened in that first chapter, he said that in essence what transpired is the people decided they needed to check it out first, to check out the land of Canaan. It wasn't God's idea. Now God said, okay, you know, sometimes he'll let us, you know, if we're persistent, he'll let us do those things if they're not sinful. And he let them check out the land and even orchestrated it so it would be done fairly and right. But did they really need to check out what God had already providentially promised? Huh? Do we need to investigate something that the God of heaven, the creator of you and me, the creator of heaven and earth, has already providentially checked out and made ready for us? He allowed it, but I don't think it wasn't his idea. They should have just gone up. Immediately just went on over into Canaan. We don't need to check it out. Let's just do it. If God is in it and God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians, they're much, you know, they want a convenient season. They want to wait a little longer. They want to investigate it more. They want to evaluate it with their mind. They want to sum up God. They want to check out God. They want to analyze God. Listen, God is not to be analyzed. He's God. And you need to just trust Him. He has already revealed His glory in creation. Amen. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament, His handiwork, God has seen all around us. He's already proven His existence in your life. He's already shown you that this is the way. His Holy Spirit has come to you and taught you and directed you and led you that this is the way. I do believe that that sinners are drawn to Christianity, don't you? They're actually led to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And God's goodness has been displayed and demonstrated in your life already. All right, I want to read these passages. They came back. We know about the 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They came back. They were carrying with them this one cluster of grapes. Actually, I think it was on two poles. There was two cubits. You can read about that a little earlier. Between two staffs, verse 23, you know, they brought back these pomegranates and these figs. The land was full of fruitfulness. You know, Christianity will bear fruit in your life. If you get saved by the grace of God, it will influence not only you, but it will influence the people around you. It will cause your not only your life to have goodness, but it'd be goodness that will spill out on others. I mean, your cup will overflow and it'll spill out on other people. It'll help bring your children to the Lord. Amen? Yeah. If you're a parent today and you've not been saved by the grace of God, the best thing for you to do is get right with God, and you'll help your children get right in the process. Amen. It will influence others. If you have a spouse that's lost, get as close to God as you possibly can and serve the Lord and pray and call upon His name and study His word, and your home will be sanctified even if your spouse never gets saved. Amen. There's fruitfulness in Christianity. Oh, the blessings. The blessings of being saved. I could spend a couple hours right here, couldn't I? I mean, I could camp out right here. I mean, the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Isn't it a blessing to be able to pray when you're in trouble? To call upon the Lord. I mean, when you... But not only that, but isn't it a blessing to be able to just get on your knees and worship, and your heart just burn within you as you reflect upon all the wonderful promises that are yours to enjoy. To know not just where you came from and where you're at, but where you're going. That heaven is your home. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To go through life with the anticipation of the return of Jesus. He's coming back, y'all know. He could come back any day. Yes, I still believe in the imminent return of Christ. He could come back today. Jesus could split the eastern skies and we will ascend to Him. Praise God. Our mortal bodies will be transformed into incorruption. Listen, isn't it a blessing to be saved? You know, I've regretted a lot of things in my life, but I have never regretted one time, not one single time, my surrender to the Lord and my walk with the Lord. I've regretted stuff Tim has done for Tim, but I've never regretted anything that I've tried to do for Jesus. Oh, there's fruitfulness. There's blessings. People, it's what shaped this country. People that were close to the Lord, we're still benefiting from the blessings of and the fruitfulness of the lives of the people that founded this country. Amen. Perhaps those brethren and sisters, their lives, I don't know, maybe it's over. Maybe we've ridden on their coattail as long as we can. There is a land flowing with milk and honey. And it's a walk with Jesus. It is, I mean, the brotherhood. Isn't it wonderful to have brothers and sisters in Christ? I mean, the love of God, to experience the love of God. I could go on and on. I'm not going to go there, but I'll tell you, every one of our lives that are saved, our lives should be demonstrating that this walk with the Lord, that the blessings of this land are meant to be enjoyed and are enjoyed. There are times when we need to stop frowning and start smiling. There are times when we need to quit complaining and start rejoicing. We should be reflecting the milk and honey of the land of Canaan in our attitude and in our life, in our conversation, in the way that we live. People ought to see our lives and want to come over to Canaan. Amen. We should be bearing a good report. We should be like Joshua and Caleb. We should be giving a good report. And we should be encouraging people to come on over to this land that flows with milk and honey. I'll tell you, what was it that prevented these people from coming over? Let us read. Verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You know, the people of Israel, they were the most discontent people during this time, yet they patiently waited 40 days for the spies without murmuring. They couldn't wait a few minutes for a drink of water or something to eat. I mean, you know, they couldn't wait just a few minutes for God to split the Red Sea. They couldn't stand still. But you ever notice that they waited 40 days patiently for the spies? There's a message in there, but I don't have time to preach it. But y'all know, if you're the person God wants to study that out, you need to study it out. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, they showed them the fruit of the land. I said already, we need to be demonstrating that fruit. We need to be showing people in our lives, in our manner of life, our conversations, in our walk with the Lord, the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Now there's a lot of people that notice that Christianity is full of blessings. A lot of people that are lost, they don't know for a surety what all of eternity means. They don't know where they're going to go when they die. But Christians know that. Saved people know where they're going to go when they die. There is an obvious blessing associated with being saved, with trusting Jesus and living for the Lord. They wonder how we can always be content. You know, they look at our lives and they don't understand why we're not running after the things of the world. People, our Father owns it all. And He has promised us all of it. We are already kings and priests. We're already kings and priests, the Bible says, through what Jesus has done. People see that it's obvious that this Christian walk is full of blessings. I mean, the blessed bees that Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, they are ours to enjoy. And I guarantee you this, we're going to inherit the earth. I don't know how that's going to happen, but God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and it'll be ours to enjoy. Another message for another time. Y'all do believe the Bible, though, don't you? Did not He promise? Did not He say? Even Daniel understood that there was going to be a new earth. Amen. The old prophets of old believed in the destruction of this world and the recreation of a new world that dwelt wherein dwelleth righteousness. I assure you this much. You know, I drove by that, what was it called? I don't know, it was some kind of place there on Church Street. And I looked over and I didn't know, Hustler something. Y'all seen that down there? I was like, what? What in the world, big old place? There won't be one of those on that new earth. I tell you what will only be commemorated on the new earth. And that is this, the things that have been done for Jesus. All right, but anyway, that's just in my sanctified imagination. Let's preach the word this morning. All right, nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You know, they started crying, bellowing, giants, giants in the land, giants. They were afraid of these giants. And I want to say this. Maybe I'm getting off the subject just a little bit. But I have a question for some of y'all that believe that angels interacted with human beings in a sexual way before the flood and created giants. What's giants doing alive here now after the flood, if that be the case? That's hogwash. Pardon my southern French. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. Now here the people get all stirred up. And Caleb, notice what Caleb does. He steals the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." That's going to be my title. Let us go up at once. Let us go up at once and possess the land. Now, there are many different ways that unbelievers have discouraged other unbelievers from finding Jesus. Many times they exaggerate the situation, just as these we find exaggerated the situation. They talked about the exaggerations of difficulty. Is there anything difficult for God? I mean, surely the people of Israel reflect and remember how it was when they were in Egyptian bondage. Weren't they delivered from the Egyptian soldiers? Weren't they delivered from Pharaoh? Weren't they brought out with a mighty arm of God, the power of God? Had God's arm weakened? Was it shortened? No. God still had the power to deliver them. We need to go up. You know, we need to go up. There are many things that get exaggerated. I want us to know they exaggerated things. They said that it was going to be difficult. They said it was going to be hard. They ignored the divine aid. You know, there's a lot of people that today they do not want to. They will not surrender to Christianity. They will not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ because they think they cannot live it. Listen, you need grace to live the Christian life. And you'll get grace. When you surrender to the Lord, He will help you. He will fill you with His Spirit. He will enable you to overcome whatever obstacles that are in your path. If you're addicted to something, He can save you from your addictions. I believe when a person truly surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ will give them grace to get out of whatever bondage that they're in. Jesus came to deliver us from the bondages of sin, and He still delivers today from that bondage. Those of us that are saved, we walk in paths of fruitfulness and we walk in paths of peace, and you can enjoy that peace, but there are people that are trying to prevent you from coming over to that peace and enjoying the milk and honey that is ours to enjoy. But they exaggerated things. They said there's giants in the land. There's these walled cities. Can God knock down the walls of a city? I mean, if He can make the Red Sea to stand up on end, amen, and then go across on dry ground, surely He can knock down a wall. And didn't He when they finally went over 40 years later? Surrounded the wall of Jericho, the mightiest wall there, and it fell flat. People propose many things, but I just want to be like Caleb this morning. These faithless spies led the people astray. They exaggerated things. They ignored the divine power that was possible. But Caleb, let us notice here, Caleb, he was of a different spirit, the Bible says. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." Now see, here's an exaggeration. They've said there's going to be some kind of disease or something you're going to get if you go over into Canaan. It's going to, you know, the inhabitants there, they're eating up with disease. You know, you're going to be diseased. It's going to mess you up. You know, there's people that say, well, if you trust the Lord, then you're going to have to give up things. You're going to have to give up your way of life. You're going to have to change your way of life. It's going to contaminate what you have, what you've planned for, the goals that you have set before you. Listen, your goals and your plans are nothing in comparison to what God has planned for you. They're minute. They're small. They're nothing. There was an exaggeration. Actually, there was a contradiction. They were saying, yes, it's full of milk and honey, but if you go over there, you're going to get diseased. I'd rather be associated with Christianity than anything else on this earth. I'd rather be associated with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ than anything else in this earth. There's nothing any better or any greater. than the church of Jesus Christ. So they had these, they said, you're going to get contaminated. You're going to be changed. Listen, you need to be changed. But you need to be changed for the good. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need the holiness of God. You need the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need to be changed from a child of the devil to a child of God. Yes, people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they do get changed. But it's a change for the good. Every person who really gets saved, they look back on that former life and they're like the Apostle Paul who said, I count it but dung. Nothing. It's nothing in comparison to the things that you'll enjoy in living for the Lord. Isn't it a joy to live for the Lord? Oh, what a blessing it is to know Jesus and serve Him. Oh, but they said, you know, you go over there, that stuff over in Canaan is going to just mess you up. I know there's people that say, well, you go over to that Baptist church, they'll just mess you up. Come on over to our church. We won't do anything like that. We won't make you change. We won't enforce any laws or regulations into your life. We'll let you just do it your way. Actually, we'll do a survey. We'll ask you what you want, and then we'll make the church how you want it. Listen, it's not our church, people. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our wants. It's the commands of God that need to be preached. God have mercy on people that want to change Christianity and conform it to our carnality. Amen. You know how churches are being built today? You know how mega churches are being built today? They do a survey in the community and ask the people, sinful, unbelieving people, what kind of church they want, how they want it to be formed, how they want them to practice, and then they build a church according to the dictates and desires of people. Y'all do know that, don't you? That's ludicrous. That's not a land flowing with milk and honey. You cannot enjoy the blessings of God unless you conform to the will of God. You need to be transformed, not conformed to this world. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I need to move on. Some of you this morning need to go up. You need to go up from serving self to serving Christ. Some of you need to come up and possess this land that is available to you, this purpose, this plan that God has for you. You're staying behind. You're not going up. There's something hindering you. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, God is saying it's time to go up and possess the land. Amen. Well, you shouldn't do that. You need to check with so-and-so first. You know, you be associated with this church, it might mess you up. Listen, you better listen to the Lord. Amen. I mean, if the Lord tells you to join the church, you need to be joining the church. Amen. If He's saying, come out from among the world and be baptized, it's time for you to go up. Amen. And possess the land. You're preventing. You're wandering around in the wilderness. And God brings you right there to the edge of wonderful spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And you won't. You believe, I don't know, you got things messed up in your mind. You're listening to all the bad reports, the evil reports from other people. You're not listening to God. And God says, take another trip around that mountain. And you'll end up spending your life wandering in the wilderness because you will not listen to what God is saying. Amen. I'm convinced churches are like that. The churches are right there. I mean, they're right there on the brink of something great, of something tremendous for Jesus. Come on now. Amen. I mean, God's saying, it's yours. Possess it. Well, we maybe need to send a committee first. Maybe need to analyze this a little bit. Maybe need to do some evaluation. Maybe need to check with the world and see what the world's saying about it. I think we better check with God.
Amen.
All right. See what God is saying about it. I'm sorry. Y'all just had, I got to preach it the way I feel it and believe it. My convictions, right? What if we get an evil report? Huh? Is that possible? People, whatever God has in store for us as Victory Church, if we don't step into Canaan, when God says step into Canaan, when he says go up, what did he say? Now! Amen. Right now! At once! Immediately! This very second! Possess the land! It's yours! Now! You know what God said? I know. Sometimes mobocracy prevails. Listen, we come together in a business meeting and yeah, a majority may rule, but if the majority is not with God, the majority is wrong.
Amen.
Woo. Some of you missionary and Baptists never heard that before. Yeah. Amen. That the majority can be wrong.
That's right.
But two of the 12 spies were right, 10 of them were wrong.
Amen.
The minority were... Notice here, it was the minority that was right. The majority was wrong. I just want to say this. If you don't, and I know churches that didn't go when God said go and do what God said do, and they thought, we can do it later. And God will say, take another trip around that mountain. Oh, come on. There's some of them in the wilderness. I don't know if they'll ever come out till that other generation dies. Ooh, man. Am I preaching? Some of y'all need to give me a witness. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But many times there's a fear of contamination. There's a fear that it's going to disease us or mess us up. Listen, we'll get messed up whether we go over or not if God isn't in it. If God is not with us, if he's not sustaining us, if he's not leading us, if he's not helping us, if we stay where we're at, we're doomed if God isn't for us. Am I not right? Doing nothing. If God deserts us, we're in terrible shape. Yeah. All right. Go up. And Caleb said, possess it now. He stilled the people. He was in the right spirit. I hope they said, if we go up, man, we'll get messed up. You know, it'll mess us up. They had all this negativity. And you know, you can always be negative. You can always find a reason not to. Satan will always present the opposite of God and God's way. He'll always do that. It's always going to be there. But people, when God is calling, you need to go up. And you need to go up now. I'm convinced, and I'm going to stop. I didn't mean... Let me read the rest of this. All right. He said, you know, you're going to get all messed up. And he says, and there we saw the giants... We saw the giants, all these giants. And we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I want to say this to you tonight. For some of you, surrendering to the Lord is like facing a giant. There's giants. I'm talking about family members. What family people will say. There may be some of you this morning that, surrendering to getting saved, you're going to have to slay the giant of deception. You have to slay the giant of other ways of salvation that you've adopted. Preconceived notions and ideas about how you get to heaven that were wrong. You got to lay it all down. Listen, you cannot get saved till you denounce the wrong way and receive the right way. If you're trying to get saved by works, you've got to relinquish. I mean, you've got to deny. You must denounce the way of works in order to be saved by grace.
Amen. Amen.
Giants out there. Heritage, history, family, friends, co-workers. The world can be a giant. But I'm telling you, this land is flowing with milk and honey. Brother Jeff Hansen,
I'm going to use you this morning, brother. Guess like my family says, since he's a PK, it's okay. They all know that preachers lack in sermon material when he uses people for an example. But he told me when I was talking to him one day, he said, I'll never join Missionary Baptist Church. I won't get rebaptized. He said, I won't do it. I said, that's fine. I don't want you to do it because of me anyway. And Candy, she didn't want him to join the Missionary Baptist because of her. But if the Lord tells you to do it, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? And it blew my mind that Sunday morning he'd come walking down that aisle. But I knew it was the Lord telling him and not man. Yeah. I mean, his daddy had baptized him. And he knew that if he joined us, he would have to be rebaptized. I don't believe this man did it because of us. He did it because the Lord told him to. And you know, there's some things the Lord is telling some of you to do. And you need to go up, and you need to go up now. If the Lord is wanting you to join this church, and you've never been baptized, I don't know what's standing in your way. I don't know what the giants are. But I assure you that God is bigger than those giants. I don't know what kind of walled cities that you're afraid of, but God's bigger than those walled cities. I don't know what kind of disease you're afraid of, you know, following the Lord or doing the will of God. But Jesus Christ healed man of every disease that he had. Amen. There's no reason for not following the Lord. Following man, yeah, you may have some reasons not to. But if you are surrendering to the Lord, if you hear the voice of the Lord, get a song, let's sing. If you're hearing the voice of the Lord, you need to fall before the Lord. You need to go up and possess the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Quit wandering in the wilderness. Quit going around that mountain of works. Works won't get you to the land of milk and honey. Quit going around that mountain of denomination. Denominations and church won't get you to heaven. I'm telling you, being a member of the Lord's church is great. It's wonderful. But it's not what I'm counting on to get me to heaven. I'm counting on getting to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a member of the Lord's church, but it was through repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that I got saved. Amen. Not through church membership. Amen. Quit wandering around out there in all of these other mystical ideas of the world and come to Jesus, and Jesus will set you free.